This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, as always, the Premier League was fascinating this weekend. I think we can now see the outline of the season, more than the outline, really. It's a three-horse race, Manchester City, Liverpool and Chelsea, and they're in that order in the first three places in the table. There's a six-point gap down to West Ham, who had a really amazing and well-deserved victory against Chelsea on Saturday. And I'm joined now to discuss the weekend by John Giles and Liam Brady. John, you saw, I saw with you, the Chelsea visit to West Ham, and West Ham did really well, didn't they?
Very good, Eamon. They deserved to win. I thought they played exceptionally well. Well, they played well all season. I think Moyes has done everybody agrees, has done a great job there.
Yeah.
He's got a good team together. He's got a good spirit there. When you consider, like, 2 or 3 years ago, they were in dire trouble. He was very good and deserved. I thought they deserved to win it over the 90 minutes.
Yeah, and Liam, you know, when you look at West Ham's history, there was, and particularly the immediate past before David Moyes came back, they needed a culture change, and they really have a culture change with guys like Jared Bowen, Declan Rice. They really get stuck in. They really want to play for 94 or 5 minutes, and it's not the West Ham style we were accustomed to.
No, they're a tough team. Well, they're in the image of David Moyes. He's that kind of character himself. I think he did a great job at Everton, didn't he? And that's why he got the job at Manchester United, because he did such a good job at Everton. This is his second time around at West Ham, and I think they're letting him get on with it, you know?
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of interference from the likes of David Sullivan and Gold and Karen Brady. I think they're letting David Moyes get on with it now, and you know, some of the signings they've made have been very, very good, particularly the kid Bowen.
Yes.
Antonio is a great leader of the line up front. And they have this spirit about them that they never give in. I thought the first half, Chelsea dominated possession, had a few chances that they didn't really take. But West Ham were a different team in the second half. They pushed on and pressed Chelsea, and I think the goal was a bit lucky. You know,
yeah.
They're blaming the goalkeeper. I wouldn't blame the goalkeeper. There was a slight deflection on it. He came that yard thinking, well, the cross is going to end up near the penalty spot.
Yeah.
And instead of that, took that to deflection and kind of spinned it into the net, didn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, that was a kind of bizarre finish to the game. Mendy had also been at fault for the penalty that they conceded. And by his own standards, which he set high standard for himself, at Chelsea, he didn't have a good game. Just one other question before I go back to John Liam. Fabianski was at Arsenal, and I always had the impression that there was a mistake in him. But I have the impression now, without enough clear evidence, that he's a bloody good goalkeeper, and he's done really well at West Ham.
Well, often, Eamon, goalkeepers improve with age and with time and with games under their belt, don't they? You know, we've all seen lads coming in and it looks a bit too much for them. But I think it's the position on the field that you learn most from experience. You know, you learn from your mistakes. You learn when you're going to come for the ball. You get a relationship with your defenders. And Fabianski has developed into a fine goalkeeper.
Yes.
He was a bit of a flapper at Arsenal, all right? Yes. He wasn't good at crosses and he spilt things and so forth. But I think, as I said to you, I think with time and with experience, goalkeepers improve.
Yeah, they used to call him Fabianski, I think, at Arsenal. John, Declan Rice, I know how much you admire him, and indeed, I think we all do. He's growing in stature all the time. He's a hell of a player now, isn't he?
Oh, he's brilliant, Eamon. He's only 22, Eamon.
Yeah.
You know, like players don't reach their peak until they're about 25, 26, 27, 28 sometimes.
Yes.
And he's a very, very mature lad for his age. He looks well older on the pitch as an experienced player than you would expect. And he's getting better and better, and as you would expect him to, Eamon.
Yes.
You know, I mean, players use the peak about 25, 26, and he's only 22. But he's doing a man's job in a big way.
Yes.
And getting better and better.
Yeah, and also, there's no stuff in the paper about him wanting to get away. I'd say the big clubs are desperate to sign him, but he's not playing that game, is he? He hasn't got his agent out there feeding the stories to the press. So good character as well.
Yes, and very sensible as well, Eamon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if and when he is going to move, he's only 22, he gets to 25, and he's really at his peak at that particular size. So he's learning his job in a good team with a good manager, and he seems to be a sensible lad. You never hear any bad publicity about him in any way whatsoever. Real pro. And if and when the time comes, he can move away if he wants to.
Yeah. Now, I mean, West Ham, John, and other clubs, they can have half a season, be near the top of the league, and then it goes pop. I don't think with this team, with sort of Antonio, Rice, this lad Bowen, Suchek in midfield is a big, strong guy, they're not going to suddenly disappear.
I don't think so, Eamon. No. I think they're a real McCoy. I mean, David Moyes, as Liam said there, has done a great job at Everton and didn't do so well at Man U. But, you know, he's an experienced manager.
Yes.
I mean, he's got a good crowd around him. He's good lads around him. They're doing the job for him. They seem to be enjoying themselves. So there's no, I don't think there's any reason why they shouldn't get better. And with what he's doing, I mean, he might get some money from the owners to even improve it. I mean, as we saw over the years, and Liam alluded to it there, when people were interfering, we think, in the transfer market and various things, and they made a right mess of it. But I don't think there'll be any messing around now. And I think if and when Moyes goes and gets the money to go into the transfer market, they should get better and better.
Liam, just on Declan Rice, you've played with and against many, many great players. This lad has it, doesn't he?
He does, yeah, he does. I actually thought he was a bit disappointing in the Euros, and I think he might have been under orders, like, to be restrained playing for England.
Yes.
I think at West Ham, he's allowed to get forward, and he's allowed, you know, influence the game a lot more, and he's a lot more adventurous with his passing and things like that. He's a really, really top player. And as you said, his personality and the way he comports himself is very impressive as well. He probably will get a move to the big boys, but it'll be done in the right way.
Yeah. Now, Liam.
Oh, just before we finish with West Ham, they're picking up a few injuries. They're playing in Europe as well as.
Yes.
So I think now they get this last European game out of the way, which is midweek, and he hopes that, I think Moyes will need all his squad with him. John could be right. He might be given money to go into the transfer market, but I do think he's short in squad numbers compared to the other teams around him. Like Man United are breathing down their necks, so are Tottenham. So it's not going to be easy for Moyes to keep them fourth.
No, and they have fortunately qualified top of their group already in the Europa League. So no worries there. Just a question to both of you. Thomas Tuchel I think, has earned the respect of most people for the way he's conducted himself as coach at Chelsea. He did speak afterwards about tiredness of his players. Jurgen Klopp talked last week about the crazy fixture list. I think both of those clubs have 8 games in December. Just to you first, Liam, Tuchel wouldn't be a whinger, but he has had injured players, Kante missing, Kovacic missing, Lukaku out, and he detected some tiredness in his players at the weekend. The fixture list they've been asked to fulfil is really monstrous, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because they have more games in Europe than, you know, we ever did in our time.
Yes.
With group stages, you know, you've got to play 6 games before you get out to the knockout stage, or get into the knockout stage. So it is tough on the players, but I think Tuchel was saying to the players, look, let's not use tiredness as an excuse.
Yes.
You know, West Ham, you know, were in the same boat, but they finished the game stronger and faster and tougher. And I think Tuchel was saying, like, this is English football. And it's always, every year around Christmas or December time, there's that extra fixture, midweek league fixture. And this debate comes about all the time. It's not going to change. The Premier League is such a great product that, you know, it's going to remain the same, Eamon. And that's why you probably need strength in numbers, which I think West Ham, compared to the big boys, might struggle. But you're right, Kante and Kovacic not being in the team, Lukaku being out, I think has made a difference to Chelsea's results without any doubt.
Yeah, John, Kante is such a big loss, and he's been dogged by injury now for months. It isn't just this particular injury. He had an injury earlier in the season and at the back end of last season as well. It's just you and Liam both at playing for top clubs. It is too much now, John. I mean, even in your time, it was hard, but now it's ridiculous. 8 matches in December, all of them, if you're up there in the competitions, mattering.
Oh, definitely, Eamon. I mean, the amount of matches they have to play is definitely too much. And I think what's happened as well now, Eamon, that we have like the top 6. And all the best players are congested, if that's the right word, in those 6.
Yep.
I mean, like in Liam's day and my day, and there was more, say, international players spread around the Premier, the First Division. You know, especially what's doing a lot of damage is the international matches, Eamon.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you know, like you've got we've got the Champions League, which is the club matches. But if you look at the international matches, Eamon, and they've invented this new competition now between the World Cup and the Europeans championships.
Yeah.
You know, and what you'll find now is that the most of the top players now are playing most of the matches, Eamon.
Yeah.
Are in the first 6 clubs.
Yeah.
They're not spread out now. They're playing for all different national teams, as we know. Eamon, you know, whether it be in the Premiership now.
And just while we're talking about West Ham, there was a time when West Ham were in the bottom half of the table and they had in their team Bobby Moore, Martin Peters and Jeff Hurst, which is an extraordinary thing to think about. Just to move on to Liverpool, who scraped a win in the 94th minute. Divock Origi came off the bench. And he scored a really, really good goal. Liam, it was a fantastic winning goal because it started at the back with Virgil van Dijk. He hit a beautiful 50, 60-yard ball to Mo Salah, who took it on a half volley and stroked it past the player, put the cross in, and Origi still had a lot to do, and he did it. It was a glorious goal.
It was, yeah. You know, he's got to be the best passer of the ball from the back. That we've seen for a long, long time.
Yeah,
you talk about Bobby Moore. He was pretty good. We're going back a long, long time there. But for a centre back to have that range of passing, and that pass seems to be his favourite. You know, on his right foot, diagonal, as you said. What was it? 50 yards onto Salah's feet. He didn't have to break stride. He could take it with him, and Origi was it. I never heard a manager say, you know, after a game that what Klopp said, I feel sorry for him. I don't play him enough, you know.
Yes.
But he is a real super sub, isn't he? You know, he's shown that with his time at Liverpool. But it was a wonderful goal and it deserved it, wasn't it? They missed so many chances before that. Jota missed a great chance.
He did.
Mane missed a great chance. They were easily worthy winners, Eamon.
Yeah, John, on their day, they are the most exciting team in the Premier League. And just to go back to that pass of Virgil van Dijk's that Liam and I referred to, this guy hits those balls regularly. And if you're being pressed or if a team want to press you, if you've got that in your armory, that long pass across the pitch, which both he and Alexander-Arnold, but particularly Van Dijk, it's a beautiful ball, isn't it?
Oh yeah, well, it's not many centre halves can do it. Actually, Cody can do it.
Yes,
the Wolves lad, and he's very good at that as well. But it's a great ball out. Obviously, you don't see many centre halves or defenders able to distribute the ball like that. But I only saw the highlights, Eamon. But they should have won about 4-5 nil.
Yes, yeah.
From what I saw, but I mean the Jota chance when he made a chance for himself and how he found the defenders on the line, I don't know. But anyway, but they look like they well deserved to win the game.
Yeah, and just in terms of, you know, they tend to give goals away, but I think they're a very exciting team to watch. I mean, there's so much quality.
I mean, you love them, Eamon. You love Eamon. We all love Liverpool. We've got great players, and they've got Salah, and they've got all the various players in the team.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a collection of players at Liverpool. As you say, the centre forward, Rigi, can't get a game.
Yeah.
You know, and that's without Firmino being not in the team. So he's got, like all great teams, all great clubs, to get the collection of players in them, which you have, and that's how you win the trophies.
Yeah,
in the way that Liverpool do win them, and United in their day, and Liverpool in their day, City are doing it today as well. You need all the great players, Eamon, in the teams to do it, and Liverpool have the more than the fair share of that.
Now, John, Manchester City are your favourite team, other than Leeds.
No, they're not, Eamon.
Other than Leeds, they are.
Eamon, hang on. You never stop about Liverpool, ever. Now, Liverpool, I don't care about Liverpool or Manchester City. I know you're only joking, but I don't care about Pep or anybody. I'll just give my opinion.
Okay. Well, let me ask you about Manchester City and Pep.
Well,
and their win
on Saturday, Eamon, I didn't think they were as good as they... they should have won the game. Watford were the worst team I've seen on Saturday for years.
Right.
They were hopeless.
Yeah.
Now, City killed them. Yeah. They had Grealish playing up front, and he should have had a hat-trick in the first 15 minutes.
Yes.
So it wasn't really a good performance by City on Saturday.
Yeah.
Bernardo Silva was brilliant. I mean, again.
Yes.
You know,
he's having a great season. This year. Yeah.
Oh, he's been brilliant. He scored two really good goals. And but City, they should have, like, the score should have been about 7-1.
Yeah.
I mean. So they didn't play all that well over the 90 minutes at all. Now, they won easily because Watford were so bad. They were so bad, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And Liam, the City, obviously, with Liverpool and Chelsea, they are the teams that have separated themselves from the rest. And Pep Guardiola appears to want to turn Grealish into a striker, really, or playing down the middle. And because he's had a tough time since he's been there. Now, I thought they paid too much for him. I didn't think he was a £100 million player. And he hasn't made a very good start. Can it work, do you think, if he can do for Grealish what he did, I think, up to a point with Raheem Sterling, turn him from a wide player into a down-the-middle player?
Yeah, he has experimented with quite a few players in that position, hasn't he?
Including Bernardo Silva.
Hasn't really, you know, filled the boots of Aguero, has he? You know,
No, nobody has. No.
So he's tried Sterling there, he's tried Gundogan there. And in the main, it's pretty much worked. He's tried De Bruyne there, but De Bruyne, I've seen him play, like, they call it a false striker, false nine. But they're such a good team, Eamon, that you know, they can get away without having and Aguero for 99% of the time. But
yes,
it might cost them in the end, the fact they haven't got like a 25-goal man
yes.
in the team.
Yes.
You know, generally when the team wins the league, they usually have a striker that's
yes.
hitting 20-plus goals, like Salah at Liverpool,
yep.
like Aguero when he was at Man City. Yeah. So it is something. Grealish, I think he's been okay without setting the world alight, to be honest. But, you know, it's a fascinating table this year, in as much as that from one week to the next, you could be picking either of the first three as the team most likely to win it. I think it's going to be a great race, and I hope it keeps up till the end. You know, it'd be great
yes.
if we had... You don't often see three teams going for it. You know, I can't remember, you know, the last time when that was the case. And it would be really exciting if it carries on like that.
Now, John...
I'll just say there,
yeah.
don't forget, Pep was trying to sign Harry Kane, and it looked like he was
yes.
going to get him and
yes.
didn't get him.
Yeah.
So I think that's the big fault with City,
yes.
that it got too late to sign somebody else.
And Liam's right. I mean, and I think Guardiola knew it, that you do need a 20-goal-a-year man, 20-goal-a-year plus man, and you know it as well because you had Alan Clark at Leeds, and you do need that thing that took away the goals. And there was Aguero, sadly, John, he looks like his career's over now. He went to Barcelona, but he has a cardiac condition and it looks like it's over for him.
Yeah.
But he was a brilliant finisher.
Well, he was ideally for City with the chances that they
yeah.
make, Eamon, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still spreading the goals out. They're still scoring chances. But as Liam said and you said,
yeah.
it, like if they had Harry Kane in there,
yeah.
I mean, you know, then they would have the 25. I think he's got at least 25 goals a season for them.
Yes.
But they haven't, so they have to get on with it as best they can. And that's why I think he's tried Grealish there up front. I think he's tried a few players up there. And he can produce a 25-goal striker from nothing.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Okay, Liam, Manchester United, as always, the focus of much interest. And they've made a decision now that Michael Carrick is gone, that he was the temporary manager. They now have an interim manager, Ralph Rangnick, who hasn't managed any team since 2019. He's been in some capacity with Lokomotiv Moscow. He's highly regarded by Klopp and Tuchel. He's a German, of course. He's taken over at Manchester United until the end of the season, and then he has an option of a 2-year contract extension. and they started yesterday. It's, I wonder what you think in the first instance, I'm not sure I've had a chance to ask you, of that arrangement. Because I think, and I think I've spoke to John, both of us think it's nonsense. It's a nonsense arrangement. How does it work? What do you see there?
Well, they had to change it, didn't they? They had to change it with the way results were going.
Oh, yeah.
So Solskjaer, you know, was going to be sacrificed. And it's what you could do in the current climate, you know, whether you could get the manager you want. Could they have got Pochettino from PSG? I doubt it, you know. Yeah. Most managers are in situ. Most top managers are in situ now.
And Conte had gone.
Conte, they didn't move early enough to get him. If they did want him, they could have got him, I'm sure. So Ranić is kind of a solution to the problem that was, you know, evident for everybody to see. You needed to change. Ranić has a great reputation. There's a great reputation of being an improver of players and a producer of players and a spotter of players.
Yes.
And although he's never had any great success at any club, but he's never managed a club of the stature of Manchester United. And I've been impressed. I was impressed yesterday for the first half hour, first 25 minutes. They really did look as if they had the bit between their teeth and they'd bought into what he wanted. But they couldn't keep it going because you know, you'd have to look at the players and say, well, are they going to be able to do what I want them to do? And it is unusual because if he's going to stay there only 6 months as at the helm of picking the team and coaching the team, what's going to happen after that, Eamon? You know,
absolutely. I mean, what's going to happen in the transfer window, for example?
I'd be scratching my head. I wouldn't be able to give you, you know, a clear answer on that, to be quite honest. And I don't think anybody would.
No. And John, I think we've talked about this certainly privately, but I mean, what happens in the transfer window, for example? Now, not much big business is done in the January window, but what happens if, say, Pochettino becomes available? Is he going to go to a club with Ralph Rangnick upstairs, director of football or something? I don't think you're a fan of this arrangement either, are you?
No, shows, Eamon, the mess they got themselves into, to be trying to do what they're doing now. I don't know this, nobody knows, well, none of us know this guy, but what I've seen of him, what I've heard of him talking, Eamon, I would be inclined to give him the job now.
Yeah,
and let him get
full time, yeah.
Full time, yes, because what he has at the moment is an extension on his contract on a consultancy basis.
Yeah.
Now that could be anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, but in my experience in football is that it's very, very seldom that players can really, really play for an interim manager because they think, well, he's not going to be here next year.
Yeah.
You have to believe that the manager's there. You're all in it together. And what I've on his records has been very, very impressive with the managers that he talks about. And what I've heard of him talking about, he's saying all managers have a vision of what they want to do. All the visions can be different, but they have it. And all the great managers, which I entirely agree with. And anything he has said and that I've read, I thought that really makes sense.
Yeah, I know a number of things about him, but one of the big projects he did manage, Liam, and you were asking the question then, John, is Leipzig. Leipzig were in the fourth tier of German football, and he guided them all the way up to the Bundesliga and into the Champions League places. So that's his piece of work. But then I don't know.
And Salzburg, don't forget about Salzburg. Like that, you know, they ended up as a Champions League team, you know, most years, Eamon. So
yeah, so he has
a
record
there as well. He did a really good job without winning any major trophies.
Yeah, but he went then to Lokomotiv Moscow, and he didn't go to there as the coach. He went there as a consultant. But anyway, let's go back to yesterday. I could only watch it on Match of the Day last night, which I did. And he said before the match, I want to turn Manchester United into pressing monsters. This is a bit like heavy metal that Jurgen Klopp talked about when he first went to Liverpool. John, can Ronaldo be turned into a pressing monster, do you think?
No, I don't think so, Eamon. But I did hear him talk about Ronaldo before the match, Eamon.
Yeah, he was respectful.
And he said he didn't expect Ronaldo to turn into it. I mean, he said that in a general sense.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He said, I realise what Ronaldo can do, and he's the fittest guy I've ever seen for 36 years of age. He didn't say, he more or less said, no, I don't expect, I might expect him to do a little bit more, which I did. But not into a tournament. Like this fella's, I think he knows his stuff.
Right.
And he knows what he can get from Ronaldo. Now, the bit I saw, yes, I only saw the highlights last night.
Yeah.
But there was a go about them, Eamon. At least there's a leader there that knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
That's they haven't had that for 3 years since Solskjaer went there.
Yeah.
So, and again, what I say, what I've heard him say on or read about what he said, it really made sense to me. And at the moment, it's not my job. But I would make him the manager for 18 months, Eamon.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd say, well, see, this is a very difficult job to do now, to get everything right in the few, well, not the half season that he's got left.
Yeah.
Right? I think to give him a real chance, and I think what he really wants to be is the manager. I heard him saying that. You know, he'd love to manage a team like Manchester United. It's a dream job. So I'd give him the job for the 18 months. I'd give him this half season to get it ready and the next season to have a go. And I think, and this is my feeling at the moment, is that he can do it, Eamon.
Right. Liam, Fred, who's been much maligned by everybody, including me at times, scored a great goal with 13 minutes left. 77 minutes it took them to break down their opponents yesterday, Crystal Palace, you know, who aren't by any means easy to break down, but they got their goal. Just in terms of the longer sort of period he's got to work with this team, they do need players. I want your opinion. I don't want to give you mine, but I'll give you mine in passing. They do need players, Liam, and the question is, how do they get them? Who has the authority to buy the players, to give him a chance to give it his best shot?
Well, he has a great record in transfer markets, you know, Ranić. And, you know, a lot of the Liverpool players are playing in that team now, came through him.
Right.
As, you know, he bought them, the likes of Mane and people like that. I think they'd be listening to him. I think if he said, look, we need a player in the transfer window that's coming up, and I know exactly what I want. I think Man United will back him because he's got such a good track record with signing of players.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons he was brought in as well. Now, we obviously think their midfield has to be looked at. I know Fred scored yesterday and it was a good goal. He's actually having a goal over the last recent weeks.
He really is
having a goal.
Yeah.
And McTominay has a goal, but they're not good enough, I don't think, compared to the teams above them. So they could really do with a player like Declan Rice.
Yes.
And maybe a creative player as well in the middle of the park. So I think that's the area that needs addressing. Certainly the forward line looks all right, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd be a bit worried about Lindelof over the. I know they. I watched the highlights as well on Match of the Day, and they said he had a very good game and things like that. But I think there's always mistakes in him at the very highest level. So I think that's another position they should look at. I think the two fullbacks that came in have been doing okay for them.
Yeah, they're doing okay. Just one point. I think we all watched the same thing, Match of the Day. There was a point when they were doing, Mickey Richards was doing the analysis and praising it. But Manchester United back four were way out of their ground. They were far too far up the pitch. John, I'll ask you, I don't know if you remember it. They were far too far up the pitch. He has these pressing monsters. But if they played like that against Liverpool or Chelsea, on the counter-attack, they would be slaughtered. In fact, that's what happened when Liverpool slaughtered them a few weeks ago. They tried to press and they were slaughtered.
Well, they didn't try anything against Liverpool. They were just hopeless against Liverpool.
Yeah.
And first of all, Michael Richards, I wouldn't take any notice of what Michael Richards said. I think he's a nice lad and all that. I mean, as far as football is concerned, out. And don't forget, this fella's only been with the team
four or five days. Yeah.
You know, you can't say they're doing, of course they're not going to take him, what?
A long time.
15-20 matches, Eamon.
Yes.
To get what you want.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't take any notice of what's happening at the moment.
Right.
And he might have been telling them like 2 days before, I want you to press high up the field. And you find the players do overdo it, that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to give them a chance and 10 matches, 12 matches that you really see. What I did see yesterday was an urgency about them.
Yes.
But they were trying to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Now, when we've had Solskjaer for the last few years, I don't know what they were trying to do or what he even knew what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
At least it's leadership for a start, and you'd have to give him, you have to give him a few months. That's why I'd give him the job for the 18 months, Eamon.
Right. Okay,
you know,
John.
It's going to take till the end of the season for him to get from that team what he wants. You can't do it overnight. But there were signs there yesterday, but there was an urgency about them. Whether Ronaldo or Fernandes, who hasn't been doing that in recent times. That's a start.
Okay, John and Liam, thank you both very much indeed, John Giles and Liam Brady, two great players and the two best analysts anywhere. We're grateful to John and Liam, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.